Today's daf is daf Lamed Tet, and we're holding by the Mishnah, which will be opened with the rousing.
Zuk the Heilige Mishnah.
Sitam Nizirut Shloshim Yom. Now, this, of course, is a halacha that we had much earlier in the Masechta, way back in the first parak, that if somebody just says Harini Nazir without further explanation, he means 30 days. We learned this out. Remember, it was a machlokas. Whether we learn that from the number of times that the Nazirut is repeated in the Torah, or whether it's from the drush of the word Yihyeh, which is Gematria Shloshim, is a question whether it's really 29 days or 30 days. In any event, we don't really need to repeat it here in the Mishnah, other than to introduce the halacha of Gidol Seir. So Gidol Seir, because of this, we now understand has to also be Shloshim Yom as a norm. And therefore, continues the Mishnah, given that Stam Nizirut Shloshim Yom, in the event that Gilach or Shigilfu Hulistim Soter Shloshim Yom, it is possible for him to lose up to 30 days of Gidol Seir by having somebody grab him, like the Nazis used to love to do, shave off the hair, in the case of the Nazis, the peyote. Over here, obviously, the overall growth of the Sar HaNazir would be as enraging as Peyot were to the Nazis, and therefore, in this case, he would need to be Megadel Seir once again, so he would have at least 30 days of Gidul. Remember, this is the way we've been learning throughout when we mentioned the Sugya earlier, that the point here is not literally a din in Soter, but rather a requirement to have Shloshim Yom of Gidul. So if Lamaisa he had in his Zirut, let's say, for 60 days, and the people shaved him on the 30th day, then he wouldn't lose anything, because he could still have the Giluach of Shloshim Yom. This is the way that Tosis learns the Sugya, many Mishonim learn the Sugya, that we've had all along as sort of our default position. Now that we're here at the Mishnah itself, it would be good to take also into consideration the Rambam's remarkably different shita. According to the Rambam, this is truly a din in Shloshim Yom, a stira Shloshim Yom, meaning that you lose those 30 days. In other words, according to the Rambam, at the point that the person is Megulach, at the point that he's Megulach, in order to restart his Nizirut, counting his Nizirut, he needs to have 30 days of Seir in order for there to be a noticeable Gidol Seir. So therefore, you can't restart your count until you have the growth of 30 days of hair. According to the Rambam, therefore, as the Chazon Ish points out, the Stira of Gidol Seir is even worse than the Stira of Tumah. Let's take a case where after 10 days, the guy became Tumah. So what happens? He takes off 7 days to become Tor. He needs Azoya Shrishim Vishvi, becomes Tor, and restarts his Nizirut on the 8th day. And so in total, he's basically needed to keep an additional 7 days. He was Sosa the first 10 days. So 17 days extra he keeps, total of 47 days. What happens if on the 10th day now, they would be Migal Layachim. So now he needs to wait 30 days before restarting his, before continuing his. You're right, it's not Soter in the sense of losing, but it would still be a total of 60 days. Because he would need 20 additional days, 10 of the first days, and now he's going to be Mashram, but he needed 30 days in the middle. So it turns out, strangely enough, that without the Stira, nonetheless, you end up with a bigger problem with Tiglachat than you do with Tumah, at least in terms of the number of days. So this is the Rambam's unique shita. So he would understand that there is literally a 30-day point at each, at any time. The way Tosfos is learning, all that it's saying over here is that you can lose a maximum of 30 days, but you may not lose anything. You might be able to continue to count. All right. Now, Nozer Shigilach Ben Bezug Ben Betar or Shesif Seif Koshu Chayav, a Nozer who cut off his hair, whether he uses a scissors or whether he uses a razor, or for that matter, even, now here in the Mishnah, Sif Seif, even though the Mefarish says, and it's, again, I must stress, it's pretty clear that this is not Rashi, at least not completely Rashi. There are certainly many indications that there are pieces of Rashi in it, because when there are Rishonim who quote Rashi, on this misasmi, obviously had a Rashi, is very often not what it says here, but very often is. So it seems to be that there were some she'eriyot, leftovers of a Rashi Pirish that somebody put into shape, who wasn't Rashi, but it was Talmidim, first, second generation, and put it into a kuntras that there should be a Pirish on the Gemara. So that, again, there's many, many contradictions between the ways before the Shavir, where Rashi will be Mufarsha, similar sugya, in Psochim or Avodah Zarah, so we can't really call it Rashi. However, so the Mefarish over here, he explains that the meaning of Sifseif is from the word Sof, and what it means is you pluck off a little bit of the end of the hair. Now this is very problematic, we'll see later on, that even though there may be an assay associated with doing that, the Lav would l'cha'ora have to be similar to a Tar, because it's learned from the comparison to the Tar, but we'll talk about that later. So that many learn sif-safe simply means pulling out of here by holding the end of the hair and pulling, as opposed to cutting it on the bottom. But it still would be chayev only if it was pulled out from the roots. Iboilo. So starting now from the beginning of our question, we have a she'ela in the Gemara that is of great concern to every louse that walked the face of the earth, or at least his earth, which is the hair of some poor, unfortunate being. So the question is, where does the hair grow from? Does it grow from the bottom? Does it grow from the top? If it grows from the bottom, that poor louse is going to be working hard to stay close to the blood supply, you know? So which way does it go? So a mazia, or minia is usually the word for a single hair, and indeed some have that lashon over here, binata. Mazia usually refers to the hair, not a hair. Mila tachat rabi o mila el. Does it grow from the bottom or does it grow from the top? Now, this very important question, of course, the Gemara is bothered by who the heck cares. Lamai nafkamina. Turns out there's a fascinating nafkamina. Nafkamina is like this. Nazir shel yechuhu listim. Vishiyarobo kede lakuf roshol yikaro. Let's say the case that we have in our Mishnah, where, in fact, he was Megulach. But in this case, they left sufficient growth to be considered a hair. And we'll see later on what our Mekor is for that. But in any event, if there's enough growth that you can take a tweezer, grab a hair, and twist it into two, bend it into two, and you can get enough to touch the tip of the hair to its own root, which we'll see is really a growth of 7 days, that is considered that the hair still remains. Now, the question is, when a person makes himself a nazir, so generally speaking, the hair that's on his head at the time is of that growth, at least. But that hair that he had on his head, he is now dedicating to his nazir. Okay? So if the hair is growing from the bottom, then when the listim cut off that hair, then they're cutting off the hair that he had been magdish as for the nazirut. If on the other hand, the hair is growing from the top, from the part furthest from the scalp, so then when they leave that hair, it's true, they may have been cut off things that grew during the nazirut, but what he had dedicated to his nazirut remains. And therefore, it would not be so terrible. So it makes a big difference to us to know. If the hair is growing from the bottom, so now the hair that they are leaving is new hair. That's not the hair that he had been magish that took away his nizirut, so to speak. If the hair grows from the tip, so then what was on his head, or at least the shear of sufficient, maybe it was longer at the time, but that's not what's important. It's that hair that was there remains, and the hair is defined by lokov rosho yikaro, and therefore would not be soter. What's the halakha? Toshma, bring a raya from the louse. Mea inva. If you've got a live louse, it's always at the bottom of the hair, the kain beik for the divinata. It's always at the root of the hair. If the hair is growing from the bottom, why isn't the louse found up on the hair? Says Zimar, well, lice need a nice blood supply, so why would they allow themselves to be taken away? They just walk down, you see. So they're always moving. So therefore, Liyala Milatakat Rabi, it may well be true that the hair grows from the bottom, but Agav Chiyutav, I mean, after all, it's a living creature. It's similar, that's a reference to the egg, but that's a little strange. But anyway, since it's a living creature, Nochit Ve'ozo La'Yinfa, it always moves down to be close to the scalp. All right, I guess that's not much of a right. Okay, how about this case? How about Toshma from the Inva Meta? How about a dead louse? Where over there, in fact, or the egg of a louse is found at the tip of the hair, ultimately. If actually it's growing now from the tip, how come it moved? I mean, it's dead. Why would it move? So that seems to prove that the hair is growing out from the scalp. Because not necessarily. I mean, are you ignoring gravity? You know. I mean, ultimately, maybe it's just falling out gradually. You know, I mean, since it's no longer alive to get itself close to a blood supply, so Agav Delet Mishum Delet Bechela doesn't have any ability to move anymore or to hold on. It's dead. Shirugi Shrigavazo, so it just gradually slips out because of gravitational pull as you move your hair and you're lying down and so on. And therefore, it seems to be moving out, even though really it isn't.
Well,
let's
just paint some hairs and
obviously that's what we're going to do. Tashma, but here's our cutest riot. Go into Harlem. Now, take a look at those braids, okay? Where do those braids always loosen up from? They're always loosening up close to the scalp, right? So you got this beautiful braid. And then 2 weeks later, it's all messy at the scalp level. It's falling apart. Now, how did that happen? So, Tashmami Bluri Tekushi. If you take a look now at a black man's braids, okay, so what do you got? The bottom Magadva, but after you make this nice braid, after a little while, it's Rafya Mayataka. It gets loose underneath. The only explanation for that is that the hair is growing from underneath and loosening the braid. So there you have experimental evidence for how the hair grows. Says the Gorin, oh, this is not a good experiment. Because Atam Nami, I did a Kamta. He mishikvarat the Rafia. I mean, the point over there is, I mean, he keeps lying down on that braid. I mean, the poor braid's being abused. So the part that is now under his head is under the most pressure, moving around. So maybe that just loosens it, but it's not because it's growing, it's just because of constant movement. So you can't prove from there either. Okay. Tashma. That's right. Tashma. That's the hafochma vehafochma. So Tashma misikarta. Take a look at what happens when you use the red dye on your behemoth to choose the one that is supposed to be the maaser. Right? So you take red paint and you paint it. Now over there, it's Rafi Amra Milatachat. Over there, the wool starts loosening there from underneath. Now, obviously, before you point out, you could have said that it loses its red color from underneath. But since we're dealing here with thick wool, that may be difficult to see. But you can certainly see that it's loose. So it must be that it grows there. And by the way, I mean, that even appears in a bright at the time. I mean, look, the other things we were just talking about are our typical experience in life. I mean, here it's enshrined in a bright. The two, anyway, I mean, talking about typical experience. All these old guys that are out to catch the girls, I mean, katsavi savya dikno. When these old guys, they dye their beards, you know, so they should look like youngsters, you'll notice that chavron ikvi nimehon, notice that always it's the bottom of the hairs that start showing. Only his hairdresser knows for sure.
Why do we go through this whole long discussion if this is the answer?
It is apparent and obvious, but you know what? People thought the other ones were apparent and obvious too. This is important not to jump to conclusions. Very often, actually, Rashi points this out in several places. The Gemara goes through things that are obvious to teach you not to take anything for granted. So we want you not to jump to conclusions. You think you've got it all proven because this is what you've assumed. There may be other reasons. So it wants to show you how to think. Fact is that it took a long time for people to look for other reasons. They always jump to conclusions, right? It's a very modern idea to assume that there may be another reason. That's why we run control experiments. Okay, so over here it must grow milatacha, right? Shema mina. Yeah, you're right, you're right. Okay, so now that that's the point, so velahadatani, nazir shegilchu listen. We had a case in a brayta where the. By the way, speaking of the Nazis and the listim over here, the interesting thing is that this is nogea even a little bit lahalacha, because why is it that we don't treat the peyot the same way we treat the hair of the Nazir? Here we're making a big deal about whether you're allowed to pull out a hair, for instance. Or we'll see later on, can you even comb the hair of a Nazir, since it's going to cause pulling out of hairs? So why are the peyot not the equivalent to the full hair of the Nazir? Yet we do not find hakpada, even though we are chayish, there is a big machlokas rishonim, as to whether the peyot of the head are allowed to be cut, just not with a razor, as the Rambam learns, or as the Rush learns, they can't be cut at all. But we are machmer like the Rush, as you know, that we don't cut the peyot to less than the darga of kedei lakuf rosho likoro. So we need to have a hair there, which is defined as we just did. So the sugyot are related in enough to bend the tip of the hair to the root of the hair. Very good. Now, why don't we say that just like Reb Kiviger actually asked, just like we have by a nazir the din that you can't pull a hair out or comb a hair, why don't we have that chumra by the peyot? Now, there's some Nachman guys that actually they apparently hold that. You know, you're not allowed to do anything to your peyot. Right? But what indeed is the reason that on the contrary, that you find people, you know, doing all the cute stuff that the bluriot of the Kushim do, they do to their peyot, which was, or if they were nazir, and they certainly couldn't do for a chashash of pulling it out. So why is that? Well, that's an interesting question. A lot of different issues getting there. First of all, one important issue is, are the peyot usur in removal or only in tiglach? There was a nazir, we're going to see, we have a post, because you can't remove there in any way. But maybe the peyah is similar to the tiglachat of the panim. But the Chassam Sofer says no, because there's no word of tiglachat by peyah, it's lo takifu. Lo takifu is not in any way. However, there is an interesting halacha about what is the shiur of the peyot. How many hairs are the peyot? See, by the nazir, it's any hair he's got. But what would constitute hakafa? Suppose I cut some of the peyot, but if I leave a little tiny, 10-hair peyot, would that be a good peyot? So the Rambam says the shiur, actually, is 40 hairs. But even that's only the Rabbonah. 2 hairs would be sufficient, because you weren't mekif. So you didn't make it even, because you still have hair sticking out. Therefore, we're certainly not going to say you're doing an issur pulling out a hair or two here and there. And so, memela, there's no hakbada on the pain. Okay. But getting back to our sugya, what about a case where the listim came along and they left enough hair, kedei lakuf rosho liikaro? So now you've got enough to twist the tip to the root. It says over there, eino soter. So eino soter means that apparently we have left behind, the Nazis left him, enough hair to be considered the hair of his nazirut. Now, I thought we just said, it's been growing from the bottom. If it's been growing from the bottom, the hair that's there is not the hair that he was magdish for his nazirut. It's hair that grew in the course of his nazirut. So then, why is it that it wouldn't be so terrible? Answers the Gemara, the case over there indeed would not be talking about where they shaved his hair in the middle of his nazirut. It's talking about kegodshav yilchuhu achar malot. There, in that case, the hair had been shaved after the full 30 days of the nazirut. So you'll say, if it's after the full 30 days of the nazirut, so then mumanafsha, either it's not soter at all, or if you need shloshim yom, still, so you need shloshim yom. I mean, so you would still need 30 days. So where do you get this halakha from? It's going, aliba mani rabbi Eliezer. This is specially and uniquely the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, the Yomar Kol Achar Malot Shiva Soter. And he has an interesting halacha in which if he's actually this Lashon of Kol Achar Malot is a reference to Tum'ah Achar Malot, not Gilu Achar Malot, but we're comparing the two, as we'll see. So he holds that if a Nazir became Tamei, but it's already after he kept the full shiur of his nazirut, that then he only requires the 7 days necessary for him to be tahor, and he becomes tahor and brings his carbon out and does his tiglachat and so on. So Rebbe Eliezer Shita would also be that if they were megaleachim after he had already kept his full nazirut and was already yotze, it's also not ma'akiv him for bringing his karbanas, and therefore it would be sufficient for 7 days of growth. Says Gemara, but I mean that doesn't make sense, though. I mean, my time at Rebbe Eliezer. I mean, look, if the idea is that you need 30 days for your tiglach, I mean, particularly this is the way Tosfos learns that that's the whole point. There is no sefira, we're just looking for Gidol Seir. So, I mean, what do you get? It's illogical, is it, to compare? What is the tumah? The tumah needs 7 days to become tahor. With the hair, if you're telling me that I need hair, achar malot, and I need 30 days minimum, right? Where would he come off saying 7 days? See, why? Because interestingly, yolif tiglachat tahorah, mitiglachat tumah. He learns the din of stira, which comes through tiglachat, and that's what we're calling about. Tiglacha Torah. Torah means, in other words, not Tuma, but just the problem of Tiglacha per se, from the din of Tuma that causes a Tiglacha. It's a little bit misleading, this language over here, because the comparison is not for the haircuts. The comparison is the situation of the haircuts. Tiglacha Torah, what's the problem of Tiglacha Torah? The problem is the fact that someone had been Megaleach. What's the problem of Tiglacha Tuma'ah? The problem is that he became Tameh. But he says we're looking at those two things. So the stira that comes through Tiglacha, in a case where he's Tahar, and the stira that comes through Tuma'ah, in a case where he's doing a Tiglacha on Tuma'ah, he's saying is the same. That just like one is seven, so too is the other one seven. And, which tells us, therefore, a very important halacha. That indeed is the source, because kim lo l'rabbanan, that kol shiva yomim atya mazya, k'dela kuf rosha l'ikaro, in the course of those 7 days that we're learning out, the fact is that the hair will grow sufficiently from zero to the point at which you now are able to take a tweezer and twist the tip to touch the root. And therefore that is now the shear of a seyar. And Mamela, in the event that you're left with that, so then Enochinami, it would not be Soter. So in other words, in a case where it's completely shaved and it's Achar Malos, we learn out that you need 7 days. But from that, we can derive that if there is 7 days growth that wasn't shaved, so that we have now enough Kidei Loku Frosha Oli Karo, then that's the equivalent of waiting the 7 days. So this is Rebbe Eliezer Shita. And therefore was not, therefore was not referring to a din of that had anything to do with whether the hair grows from the bottom or the top. It's irrelevant. We're only looking to see whether there's a din of stira in this case. Akimazikevo loka virtual ikra. Nazir shigilach. Bein bitar. Bein bizog. Oshisiv sev koshuchai. Then the Mishnah says that it really doesn't matter how the Nazir cuts his hair, whether he uses a razor, or he uses a scissors, or he actually is misafsef, which he pulls the hair out. In this case, we'll see that when we contrast the sifsuf with mirut, or other lashinas, there the sifsuf takes on a special meaning. And there we get into some machlokas. In the Torah, it doesn't say anything about cutting the hair with anything but a tar. It's a tar lo yavar al rosho, which seems to mean a razor. But we're not makbid if something other than a razor. Ein li ela tar. How about if you were tolish there, or you were mirait there, or you were sifsef there? So now, some learn that the in this case we're referring to using a depilatory. So it's a removal of the hair by burning the hair. But the Rambam, interestingly enough, holds you're not chayav on using a depilatory. It says, because why is it that when it comes to all of the other dinim, that the Gemara always uses the lashon obisam, and over here it doesn't use obisam? It must be that indeed sam is not included. It has to be similar to tar. And we're going to have some question that later on that Tosfos is going to ask. So therefore, according to this, the difference would be a tolash would mean with a scissor, mirate could mean to pull out like you pluck. It's a language of plucking like you would do with a feather. And sifsef would mean, again, I mean, according to the Mefarish here, the edge of the hair, but that's a problem because it's not similar to tar. Or it would mean holding the hair by the tip and pulling as opposed to going down and grabbing it by the root and pulling. So even if it's kosher, even if it's a single hair, this doesn't mean any amount of the hair, but even if it's a single hair, minayin, how do we know that there too there would be an iser? Talmud lomar, kadosh yihye gadel tera sa'arosho. It says beferish that he needs to be kodesh, that is, that there is a mitzvah on him to allow his hair to grow. Now, obviously, this would only be a mitzvah to say. It doesn't tell us that he would be chayev in this case, but it means that there is an iser involved, dioraita, of a bitul asay, of gadel pera, even though he wasn't over on tar lo yavor al rosho, right? So it would be one issue not to cut the hair with a tar, and another issue, which is an asay, not to remove hair through other means. So says Rav Yosha. Now what this seems to be saying is that there will only be a lav if you literally use a tar. And that is indeed one pshat in the Rosh. Lav if you use a tar, and mitzvah taseh, bitul aseh, if you use any of the other ma'avirim. The Tosfos in the Rosh also brings us a possibility, insists that since later on we're going to see that the Braita holds, another Braita holds, that there's an iser lav on all ma'avirim as well, there's no reason to create another shita in this braita. What we could understand it to mean is if that you cut off anything, and this would explain the sifsef of the mefarish, if you cut off anything, even not down to the bottom of the tar, so then there would be an isra say because you're meant to allow the hair to grow. If you're mevatel the growth, even though you may not have been over on being ma'avir the sar, then there's a bitul asay. But if you would be literally ma'avir the sar, the way that a razor is ma'avir the sar, so it would be ke'in tar, then in achinam you would be over on a lav on all of the ma'avirim, not only on a tar. So this is all, again, divrei Rabbi Yosha. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, tar. It says indeed tar in the posik. That means exactly what it says. Eimi el atar. Only atar is mechayev you. Mireit, talash, zifsef koshuhu. You would indeed be potter. And over here, potter doesn't mean potter because everybody agreed you would be potter. He's saying potter, no matter what you do, there would be no iser at all. Because there's not even if you would take ein tar, you'd be potter. And there's no, we're not talking about an iser at all in doing anything but atar. And the Torah means exactly what it says. Yes, the Gemara, but does it not say Vachtiv Kadosh Yihyeh? Kadosh Yihyeh means that you have to actually let it grow. So doesn't that mean that there is at least an Isra Asay? No, that's Lameira, the Im Gilach Lebetar, Kormele Beasay Velotase. That's simply to tell me that there is indeed a Mitzvah Asay. But that Mitzvah Asay applies in precisely the same place that the Lotase applies. Where does the lotase apply? With a tar. The essay as well applies with a tar. Yet another brisa says, Tanya idach, tar. Emiel a tar. So if it says tar doesn't mean indeed only a tar, and there's no iser lav, talash mi reitziv, seif koshu minayin, how do I know that even using another form of ha'avara, if it's similar to a tar, that it would also be aser? Talmud Lomar lo ya'avor al Rosho. It's a ta'ar lo ya'avor. La ya'avor also implies anything which will be ma'avir. It's like a double lotion. To pass over, but to tear off. Ma'avir. To move away the hair from the head. In which case, what it's telling us is that all things that cut off the hair are considered to be us. Obviously, an inclusion over here of anything which is ma'avir, but it would still have to be similar to the top. So in other words, it would have to be me'ikaro. Okay. So therefore, our Mishnah, apparently, holds of this. This would be the Tana of our Mishnah. That a nazir who removes his hair, no matter what. It says in our Mishnah, Bein Betar, Bein Bezuk, Chayev. So according to this, the Tar is not coming to tell us how to be Ma'avir, and that the Lav is Dafka Betar. If that's the case, why does it say it? Says the Gemara, Mi'achrish Sofenu L'Rabot Kol Davar. If according to this, we're saying the Tar is Lav Dafka, and there's nothing unique about the Tar, so why mention the Tar? Ma Talmud Lomar Tar. Now here is where Tosis points out that you run into a problem, and particularly according to the Rambam, if this is the Tana of the Mishnah. Because then I have a very simple reason to tell me why does it say Tar. See, it says Tar to teach me that the only way that you would be Chayev is if you do it the way it would be done with the Tar. Because this is how Tosis is learning all along. But if you would pluck the hair by snipping the edge of the hair, which is the way the Mefarsh is learning Sifseif, you would be potter, because it's like ain tar, you see. Or for that matter, and the question is, what about some? Because ke'ain tar is also hashkatan. I melt the hair down all the way at the root. So I get basically to the very bottom of it. But it's not done with the hashkata the way the tar is. So here, according to the Rambam, if it's tar, then it's tar and not sam. Would have to be like tar for shaving the beard would be a not sam. Those who remember the pre-electric shaver days will never get that smell out of their noses. but according to this, why is the Gemara say tar is extra? It's not extra. We need it. Tosis leaves that hanging. I don't know why. What do you mean? Why does it say tar? I'm still using tar as an example to explain what Sofeinu L'Rabot called Davar. So the Mashma'ut, therefore, is that indeed from the Gemara, Kol Davar would include Sam, Sifseif, the way the Mefarish is explaining it, and not Ke'im Tar. But in any event, says the Gemara, according to this bright, this continuation of the bright, Ma Tamid Lomar Tar Lo Yavar Rosho, for a completely different purpose. Note that the Torah never said how the Nazir is supposed to shave his hair at the end of his Nazirut. Can he use an electric shaver? Can he use a scissors? That's not clear. So the Fishalolamadu Litiglachata Achrona Shiabitar. Never did the Torah say what the Nazir is supposed to do, how to be Megaleach Saro. So you'll say, but why couldn't we learn it out of a Mitzorah? By Mitzorah, it says he has to use a tar on his entire body. Ah, but you can't learn it from Mitzorah. You see, l'lamdomi Mitzorah yefshar. How can you learn it from a Mitzorah? She ain't done in kal mechamur. I mean, how you can learn out from something which is very chamur? By the tiglachat of a Mitzorah, he has to remove even body here. So that's much more chamur. Over here only he has to be megaleach rosho. So maybe if the Torah is makbid on body, here it's makbid also on a razor. But maybe to be Megaleach the Rosh, it would be sufficient to utilize a scissors. So how do I know? Therefore, you can't learn out a Kal Michmur Lachmir Alav. Therefore, what you have to say is that what it's really coming to tell me is that the tar, the extra tar, that is not to be used to tell me over here, the din of the Tiglachat of Isser, but rather im eno inin the Tiglachat Isser. So it's an eno inin the Tiglachat Achiyuv that has to be betar. Rabbi says, why do you need that to tell me? Eno tzorich, you don't need the extra word tar. If it says Tar lo yavar al rosho ad melot yemein. What does that mean? Don't use that razor until the day that you use the razor. That's what it means. So what's the day that you use the razor? The day of the Tiglath, I think you're supposed to use the razor. I mean, this is not the whole point of the pasuk, but you need an extra word for that. If it's telling me ad melot hayamim asher yazir l'Hashem, that it's telling me besof hayamim asher yazir l'Hashem, that that's the time to take the razor. Don't take it until then. So it's telling you to take it after then. In which case, I now know, since it says ad melot hayamim, so I now know Torah amra achar melot, then take the tar. And at that point, lo te'etig lachat elabita. So therefore, we now know that that's included. So then, but it does say the tar v'aktiv tar lo yavar al rosho. I mean, but why say it that way? Your chayim, it's also telling me tar lo yavar al rosho. How about that lav? If it means everything, why does it say the tar according to this? That's because it wants you to know that when it comes to a tar, you will be over a lav v'shnei lavim. So uniquely by a tar, you'll be over on lo yavar al rosho. Lo yavar includes anything, but since I mentioned tar, there's two isurim: tar lo al rosho and lo yavar al rosho. So no ma'avirim and no tar. If you use the tar, you're over on both, because a tar is also ma'avir. If you use a ma'avir that's not a tar, then you're only over on one. But in either event, there would be an iser lav. And our Mishnah is clearly saying that there is indeed an iser lav that is involved. Stam nezirut shloshim yom. Yilak, koshigokhu, listim. Soter shloshim yom. Nazir shigilak, ben bezog, ben betar, shisim sev koshu, chayav, iboilu. Hai adminit minatachat rabbi, o Mila'el. Amayin avkamina. Nazir shegilchu listim. Shirovok day lakuf rosho li'ikara. See, amrit minatachat rabbi nazirut ha'shachar. Aliyam imla'el rabbi ma'ad ha'aktish ha'koy. Toshma mi ha'inva chaya. V'koy v'ikva divinata. So yisar k'taych minatachat rabbi b'resh divinata b'alamek. That doesn't prove anything. L'yola minatachat rabbi v'agav chiyut anachat v'ozal la'yibba. Okay, toshma. Inva meta bereish debinata v'yisal gadaitach mila el rabbi. How come it's not v'ikva debinata by lameka? Now hatam nami mishum nalet bachela. Perhaps it's srugit shragiv yagya. Okay, tashmami blurit tekushim. The bartan megadon la rafim le tachat hatam nami aida de kamta im mishichva de rafya. Tashma. Misakarta, we're over there, Rafi Amra, Mila Tachat, and that's even in a bright Batanga. Vatu Katsavi Sabi Diknahon, Chivron Ikvinimeon, Shmamina Mila Tachat Rafi, Shmamina. Okay, so Lahadatanya Nazishagihulistim, Vishirobo Kedela Kufro Sholi Ikaro Eno Soter, Visakat Mila Tachat Rafi, Listor, Kagon Shagihuachama Lot, and it's a whole different reason that we came up with this thing. It's going to leave Rebbe Eliezer. The Omer Kol Achamalot only requires a stira of Shiva. My time, the Rebbe Eliezer, Yolef Tiglacha Torah, Mi Tiglacha Tuma, Ma Tiglacha Tuma Shiva, Tiglacha Torah Shiva. Now, since I now know that I only need 7 days, V'kim lo Rabbonu Kol Shiva Yumim, At Yom Ma'asi K'tei Lakuf Rosh Le'ikro, that implies that if he never shaved off the amount of the 7 day growth, which is K'tei Lakuf Rosh Le'ikro, then there's no need for stirav shiva at all. Nazir shegilach ben bezog ben shisiv sev koshu chayav. Tani rabba. Tar, ein li ala tar. Talash mirei tziv sev koshu minayin that at least you'll be over on an asay. Talmud lomar kadosh yeh gadel perasar rosho, which is another isr. A mitzvah isr ad isr asay. Divrei Rabbi Yoshi. Rabbi Yonatan says, no tar tells me only tar. And the other tar, but indeed mireit talash yifsev koshu would be patur. I v'aktiv kadoshi yeh. What about the mitzvahs asay? That just teaches us the imgilach lebetar kolam lebeasay v'lo tasay. You could have a case where we'll be over on asay together with the law, But if you're not over on the lav, you're not over on the nesed. Tanya idach, now the third shita is, tar, en li ala tar, how do I know, tola shmirei tzivsev kosher minayin, that you would still be actually chayim. Talmud lomar lo ya'avor. So you have the tar, and you have anything which is lo ya'avor, anything which is ma'avir, the seir, anything which removes seir. So then why mention the tar? I mean, mi'apshu finol rabot kol davar. Ma talmud lomar tar lo ya'avor rasho. Well, it's coming actually to tell us a completely different issue. To tell me, forget about it. Rabbi Omer, I don't need tar for that. So what's the Torah saying? Torah Amra, Achar Milot Hayamim. There, lo take the glach al ala b'tar. So then you'll say, but what about the lav of tar lo yavor? Al Roshu, why say it that way? That's to tell me that if you use a tar, you're going to be over on two lavim. On the ovrim, lo yavor al Roshu, and on the tar lo yavor al Roshu. So lav or lav vishnei lavim.